Just feel that beat singing. This is the Big Drive Home Podcast with Chris and Scott. Here's some of our favourite moments of the week. Chris and Scott's top three.
Top three is back, and it's a news story that Rebecca has sourced from her news drawer.
My news pot.
News pot. And it's something that hasn't quite made the news, but it might be something we could find a song suggestion based on this story. So what have we got?
A scientist claims that he has developed a bracelet which will allow us to control our dreams. So it uses vibrations to train brains to know when they're dreaming and then to influence them. Oh. So-called lucid dreaming. So does that mean if I have a dream about Daniel Craig,
yeah,
I can dream anything I like?
I think that's pretty much what that means.
Right.
Although
it's not going to work.
Why?
Well, because it's silly, isn't it?
What is?
Sold to the highest bidder.
The story works for the purpose of... The reason why it hasn't made the actual news is because it's never going to work.
Oh, you're just no fun, you, are you?
Well, sorry, you and Daniel Craig could do what you want in your own time, but I don't
know. And your own dreams.
And my own dreams. Yeah. It costs £195 and improves sleep quality and lets you control your dreams.
Okay.
Sounds a bit control freaky to me.
It sounds a little bit weird.
Yeah.
So it's a bracelet that you put on.
Yep.
You go to bed.
Yep.
When your brain goes, oh, I'm starting to dream, bracelet kicks in.
Yep.
Bit of Kylie. And then, or Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig.
And then you can imagine whatever and it can come true and he gets 195 quid out of it.
Yep, he does.
He's the only one winning, really, isn't he?
And you wake up with a smile.
Yeah, okay. We're looking for a song suggestion, please, on that story.
Chris and Scott's top three.
Top three story today is about this scientist who claims he's developed a bracelet which allows people to control their dreams, uses vibrations to train the brain to know when you're dreaming and then influence your dreams. So how do you program it?
I've looked into this. I've invented one.
Yep.
Yeah, it's £150.
Okay,
so I've undercut
it's cheaper. He's 195.
Cheaper. It's going to look like
a piece of string.
Well, it's going to look like a piece of string with and blue tack and then some magnets around it.
Yeah,
but it's not. It's big news.
And it changes.
And it works.
So when you've, and if you say to your customer afterwards, did you dream last night? And they go, oh, I can't really remember, I was asleep. And you go, well, I can tell you did dream.
You did.
And all those things were true.
It's attached to an app.
Exactly. 150 quid, please. Ka-ching. So we were looking at songs that might go with that story. And we found quite a few, including Debbie Gibson. Because it's only in your dreams.
Only in dreams.
As real as it may seem, it was only in your dreams. £195. Thank you very much. Number two.
They can come true.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Gabrielle and Dreams at number two. And at number one, lots of people going for this, including Jane from Ingatestone, now living in Milan. Mark, hello to you. Also, Stephen Braintree.
Good afternoon, Chris and Scott. Steve from Braintree here. Just one for the top three this afternoon. Probably Sweet Dreams Are Made of This would be a cracker from the Eurythmics. Cheers, bye.
Thank you, Stephen Braintree, and a cracking choice of tune as well. It is the top three number one song. Sweet dreams are made.
Let the beat drop. The Big Drive Home with Chris and Scott. This is Radio Essex.
Radio Essex, Glass Animals and Heat Waves. Chris and Scott in Essex in a heat wave. So that works.
Amazing.
Is it still a heat wave or is it still summer?
I think it's just normal now. Like it's just hot in England now.
We're in a drought now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Does that mean we can't?
Is there a hose pipe?
I don't know. What is a drought?
No. We're not hose pipe ban.
What's a drought?
Drought's like no water.
Yeah, but what does it mean?
No, but it wasn't...
I know what a drought is. What does it mean by the fact there's a drought? What does it mean? Does it mean we can't...
No water.
There's not no water, mate. I can look out the window. I can see the water.
There's water.
There's a sea outside.
Yeah, but like, drought.
Drought has been declared for the east of England following the dry summer for 50 years. The conditions, which have almost deprived... This is the Echo, by the way, I'm reading from. Just so I'm, these are my words. Errors of rainfall. This isn't just knowledge I had in my head. I'm just imparting on you. The conditions which almost completely deprived some areas of rainfall all summer have prompted the east of England, which includes Essex, to be moved into official drought status. What is official drought status is the question I'm looking for.
Tom, if you say no water again...
All water companies have reassured us that essential supplies are safe and we have water.
So there is water.
Well, I don't know what the official drought status... It's just words, isn't it?
It's just words.
Well, are we an official... Yeah, it's official drought status. Wow. Oh, right. Can I have a glass of water? Yeah, help yourself. What's an official drought status?
Because I've still got a bottle of Volgovic. Like,
it could see restrictions. You still... So when Essex runs out of water, you're going to go, don't worry, guys. Got a bottle of Volgovic in the back of the car. It's a bit hot.
Is it a 2 litre or just a normal little one?
Do you want me to go get it?
Like? No. No, mate. I'd lock it.
I can solve the drought, everyone. Volvic.
It's lemon flavoured as well.
Oh,
living the dream. Yeah. The announcement could see restrictions placed on domestic and commercial water for residents in the area of drought. However, the Environmental Agency has reassured the public that essential water supplies are safe.
Well, Tom's just reassured everyone that
he's got Volvic anyway.
It's a crisis.
The Big Drive Home with Chris and Scott. Here we go. Radio Essex.
Oh, well done, Paris. Right, just getting the Fantasy Football League up on the screen now. And, oh, look at that. Still there at the top.
where am I?
So
you
happy are, with
you. You
so.
Are literally 1 point below me, 2 points below me in second place.
Which is when you think of how many people
are in this
league.
There's 130 people in the league. How are me and you at the top of the league?
It's also Chris and Scott, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's in the right order.
In the right order, Chris and Scott.
Yeah, so my team, Gangsters Allardyce, is at number one. Your team, I'm never going to attempt to announce on the radio.
Oh, go on.
Two.
Go on.
No. Number three is Adam Foster. Well done, Adam, at number three. Number four is Philip Sands, the real Sandman. Gary the Snail at five, which is Sean Burke's team. The brother of Jack Burke.
Yeah.
I do believe. Barry, Bazza from Benfleet at number six. Dynamo Chicken Kiev is at seven.
That's good.
Tikka Mosala is at eight. Obi-Wan Kenobi Nil is at nine. And Hollandaise Sauce is at number nine as well. Joint number nine. Have you checked these before I'm reading them?
Yeah.
Okay, number 11 is Crouch Potato. Also, Dillagy FO6. Baines on Toast at 13. Dan's Dribblers. Then we've got Neevesy Dye Westies Wanderers. Berlin the Now. Bellerin the Now. Bowen Arrow. And Samuel L. Jacksons and Outcast 11 in there as well at number 20. So that's how the top 20 looks. But there is still a game tonight.
There is.
And I looked at the top three or four. Me and you, for instance, we've both got Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah.
But then I've got Mo Salah. Yeah. So I should get more points tonight. But Adam, who's in third place, has Mo Salah and Alexander-Arnold. But then I've got Luis Diaz and he's got Devlin. So it just depends what happens tonight and we'll find out. But that is how it looks in the Fantasy Football League. And if you want to join our league, you can go onto the website, radioessex.com, click on our page and you can join from there. I'm glad I found you.
You're the one. The Big Drive Home with Chris and Scott. There's no place I'd rather be. On Radio Essex.
Some people wanted to play you a couple of weeks ago. We met Martin Tyler. And it's live!
Yes,
we met that guy. What a nice guy.
Yeah, really, really.
And
nice
we were chatting to him ahead of the season starting and everything. I've just taken a little bit of the interview because I thought it was quite an interesting interview. He was just... Yeah, it was just listening to his voice. It was so his voice is so famous.
It is.
You don't really see what he looks like, but you hear his voice all the time. I suppose it's a bit like radio.
Yeah.
In a weird way. So I asked him this question. This is where we got started.
I've got a question, Martin. If you're watching the football and it's not something you're commentating on, maybe the Lionesses or something, are you commentating in your head?
Yes. I can't stop myself. It's awful, really, because... Yeah. you know, you're supposed to be switching off watching other people. And there were brilliant other commentators around, and I thought Robin Cowan did a wonderful job for the BBC on the Lionesses. Absolutely top, top draw with much less experience than maybe the occasion warranted, and she came through with flying colours. So well done to everybody who brought us all that excitement last Sunday. After I've just had 7 weeks off for the first time probably since I started commentating, and I can't wait to get back to what is called my normal life, because I didn't know what to do for most of those 7 weeks. I managed to get the missus out for a week's holiday, and the rest of the time I found out what other people do who don't work the sort of hours that we work.
It's really weird, Martin, isn't it? Because like, so I do the radio, but I also do singing for a living in a boy band. And when I couldn't do that, I had loads of time off, sort of not that I wanted it because of COVID. And you're like, what do I do at the weekends now if I'm not on a stage singing? So
you know what I mean. But talking of boy bands, the famous five presenters and pundits, led by Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher, of course, they're in a studio and they all came in independently in the same gear, and they looked like a boy band, a sort of senior looking boy band with Roy Keane's beard. We're going to call them Roy Zone.
That is absolutely brilliant. Roy Zone. That is genius.
I've told him, and I've told Micah, who's much more likely to publicise it, watch this space.
Brilliant.
But how many matches have you got? There's loads on Sky this time.
128 exclusively live, yeah.
And I've already seen, I think Watford have been on three times in a week, which is amazing. So there's championship coverage as well. The first game was on.
EFL, Watford won at home, didn't they? So that's a long overdue.
Literally left the studio here in Southend, and I was at Vicarage Road within an hour and a half. So
And did you stay till the final whistle to salute them?
Yes, and do you know what I really liked? Rob Edwards made the players come out and say thank you, and I just think that was missing last year for us in the Premier League. And as a fan, when you're paying the money and you're there, that's not right. And I've got a good feeling about Rob Edwards, really good feeling.
Well, you are a yo-yo club, so you could be bouncing back again. Yeah,
I've got a good feeling for Arsenal this season.
Go on, talk Premier League.
I really, really think that I think it's done us a favour. I'm not just saying, I think it's done us a favour that we didn't get the Champions League. I really wanted it, obviously, but I think this year in the Europa and maybe getting fourth is a real possibility for Arsenal this year.
Well, because of my preparation for Friday, I popped into the Emirates on Saturday to watch the game against Sevilla, and I've been there 20 minutes. There were the game began in 20 minutes. They were four up. It was, and Gabriel Jesus looked the real deal. But it is pre-season. And I was also there at Brentford the first Friday of last season, where Arsenal were the visitors, and it didn't go according to plan. There were mitigating circumstances. We'll see.
Listen, we'll let you go. We know you're a busy man. Good luck with the season. Good luck with it. We look forward to hearing you on Friday as well.
Thanks, chaps. Thanks very much.
What a lovely guy. Martin Tyler off of Sky, and he did this for us as well.
Chris and Scott, weekdays from 3, and it's live.
Oh! Come home
with me. Right about now. The Big Drive Home. Woo! Let's get into it. With Chris and Scott. Let's go. This is Radio Essex.
I went car shopping at the weekend for my eldest boy. Because it's that time now where he's like, oh, I need a car. And he's finished most of his driving lessons. I think he probably needs another two or three. He'll eventually do his test. All the theory stuff sorted, so he'll be ready. So we always said we'd get you first car, and then you go to the garages, and then you're in that kind of that, because the mileage now on a car is less important than it was when we were getting a first car.
Definitely.
So like a Fiesta, and like it's 170,000 miles on the clock, and you're like, what is it still moving? 170,000 miles in a Ford now with all the technical gadgets in it and the full service history. It's nothing.
No, not at all.
And then and that was where I was getting puzzled, because I kept saying because Harry's gone, oh, this one's nice. I've like, one owner, 15,000 miles on the clock. And I'm like, you don't need that. You need the one next to it that's literally got like scratches on it and stuff, because it's your first car.
Yeah.
You might curb it. Do you know what I mean? You don't want brand new alloys.
You more than likely will.
Yeah, you don't want brand new. You're going to open it in Sainsbury's car park and smack it against somebody else's poor car. That's definitely going to happen. So I don't need to spend as much as you think I need to spend. You just need a car, probably 100,000 miles on the clock.
Well, I mean, they actually say that like, if it's like a diesel car, like it's not broken in until it's done over 80,000 miles.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Actually, so, yeah, for his first car, it's going to save you a few quid as well.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for his, I mean, I bought my son, Brennan, a Fiesta for his first car.
Yeah.
On his 17th birthday, because me and Kerry have just, that's amazing.
Yeah, parenting skills, yeah.
He's 21 now.
He's still on your drive, isn't it?
He's 21, yeah.
He's selling it.
Yeah, do you know what?
How many miles has he got on it?
About 10.
I think that was the most confusing thing this weekend, was working out which is the right way to do it. High mileage, newer car. See, if you get some of the 50,000-mile cars, they're quite old. The cars are old.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been kept, you know, it'll be a little old lady uses it to go to the shop and back. Whereas actually, I said to him, if you get a car with higher mileage in the right price zone that we're looking to spend, you'd actually probably get a newer Reg.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Ex-company car, all motorway miles. I've heard that a lot weekend.
Yeah.
It's all motorway miles, mate. I'm like, right, is that different? Does that make a difference? It just means it's on a motorway rather than, you know, first and second gear around Pitsy. It's actually fifth gear up the M25. So it's better for the car.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's better mileage, much better. I know all about the old cars now.
Better mileage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's better miles, the old company car, motorway miles. So, if you know anyone selling Fiesta, 400,000 miles on the clock will do for about 20 quid, let me know.
Big Drive Home with Chris and Scott. This is Radio Essex.
A lot of stress around today, isn't it? A-level results day. It's a big stressful Thursday.
It is.
It's a lot of stress.
People are panicking.
We
about
are
that.
Upbeat today. That's why we're being upbeat.
Because
we're trying to get across that positivity. Exam results today. Many kids up and down the country. Fifth of teens plan to choose an apprenticeship over university, a study said. 11 to 18 year olds and their parents found getting paid while learning and experiencing work. That seems to be offering youngsters more than university.
Yeah.
So a lot of kids are doing that now. If you think back, and we did this last year, but it got so many responses, and I still think this is a valuable thing to do. If you think back to what you wanted to do when you were at school or uni, and what you ended up doing, it may just help somebody who was maybe looking at doing one thing, but now looking at the results, thinking, okay, I need to have a change of mind. I need to have a little think about what I want to do. So it can be quite fun as well. Tell us what you wanted to do when you were younger and what you actually do now.
Yeah, I liked this. I remember this from before. I really liked this.
Let's start with the youngest member of the team, producer Tom. What did you want to do when you were younger? And what do you do? And what do you do now?
I'll answer for him. He wanted to be an astronaut.
Right.
And he's sort of an astronaut. He's a space cadet.
It's the same type of job.
Yeah, similar.
Incredible.
No, go on, Tom. I'll let you answer yourself.
What did you want to do when you were younger?
So I either wanted to work in a hospital or be a lawyer.
How did that work out for you?
Oh, my God.
A lawyer?
I'm not.
Lawyer.
A lawyer.
I'm doing the radio
You're
thing
on
now.
Radio thing now, yeah.
Tom, could you do me a favour? Could you just say, you can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth.
How serious did you want to be a lawyer?
It was like, I wanted to look at how the offices work. The offices look well cool.
Oh, no, well, that's water cooler. About it. A water cooler. They're so cool. You could have been a water boy at a lawyer's firm.
Yeah, or you could have worked in pretty much any office that has a water cooler. We've got one that does hot water and cold water.
Yeah, but you know the ones with like the big
cylinders
jug
on top.
Yeah.
That's what you wanted to be.
That's what I wanted to look at. I wanted to be like, lawyer.
Can you imagine being in serious trouble with the law? And they introduce you to Tom.
Tom walks in with his baseball cap and his skateboard gear and goes, well, did you do it? Yeah, I can't help you.
You're in the police cell and they go, you're allowed a lawyer, so we've got you, your representative, here he is now.
All right.
Yeah. I need to make a phone call. Yeah, I'm not going to see you for ages. I know I didn't do it, but I'm definitely going to get done for it. I was lucky, wanted to do this, I do this. You were into acting, you were into building and everything, and you ended up as a pop star.
So I wanted to do something in entertainment. I wanted to be an actor or a singer. And obviously the building thing was just before, when you need money when you come out of school. But I definitely followed my career path and you did as well. But there will be so many people out there that you fall into that first job. I mean, I've got a friend called Morgan who quite literally has been a chippy for 24 years.
Yeah, he did, started doing it to get money.
Yeah, he started his apprenticeship at school, never went to uni. Now he's a really good chippy, but it's not what he wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, you sort of fall into a job and go, and then you find the security of the money coming in.
Of course.
And you end up being that for your life.
And you fall in love with the job.
Yeah.
You get better at it and you train more at it. You're, who's the guy that did the tweets every time the exams? Jeremy Clarkson.
Jeremy Clarkson.
What was his tweet today?
So he tweeted today, don't worry, if your A-level results are disappointing, I got a C and two U's and I'm currently holidaying on a boat.
But he does it every year. He does one every year and it's like, and this is my car.
Yeah.
And that type of stuff. Just proving that it isn't the be all and end all. There are obviously options available and I'm sure you'll find those out. But what we'd like to know is what you wanted to do when you were younger and what you ended up doing. DJ Craig Gorman and Talk About. And we're talking about exam results. It is like Tourette's, isn't it? I literally can't help myself.
Talk about what we're talking about.
I mean, we should use that every time we're doing a talk about.
I think Tom's going to have a different opinion. He's going to take that song of the system now, so you never say it again.
That seems fair. We're talking about exam results day, and which has happened today, and what you wanted to do when you were younger and what you actually ended up doing. Line three, who's that?
My name's Sam.
How you doing, Sam? You all right?
I'm good. I've got my little girl Ella in the car as well. Is it hello?
Hello, Ella.
Hello, Ella.
I've got my little mate, Mubi. His name's Scott.
Hello.
Hi.
So, what have you got for us?
It was your A-level results.
Mm.
So, I always wanted to be a teacher. Didn't get what I wanted to do, so I went off and worked in London. However, at the grand old age of 34, I have just finished my degree to be a teacher. Taking me 4 years. I just wanted to say that whatever you dream is always there. And go for whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter.
So were you doing the job in London and thought, do you know what, this teacher thing's still in me. I need to do this.
Exactly that. And I had my daughter and I just couldn't get on a train anymore. And just thought, you know what, just do it. So, yeah, literally about to start my fifth year in September.
Do you know what? That's so good and such a good message for people to say, do you know what? Still follow your dream. It's not too late. You know, same thing with my wife. She always wanted to be a teacher, done other jobs, and in the end, around the same age as you, just decided, do you know what? I'm going to do it, pass her exams, and now you've got your dream. So, yeah, well done.
Exactly. But, yeah, so I just thought I'd give a quick ring. We've never called before, so...
Are you a first-time caller as well?
First-time caller. I listen every day, though, don't we?
Oh, you're a star. And Ella as well. Thank you so much for listening.
Cheers, guys.
Good luck.
Enjoy your summer holidays, and you'll be back at work in, a couple of weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks my start, so...
Excellent. All right, enjoy. You take care.
Thanks so much.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We're asking you what you wanted to do when you were younger and what you actually ended up doing. We didn't ask you, Rebecca, actually. How rude.
Yeah, it was very rude.
I always just thought that. But now we're near news time and you're back in the building.
Yeah.
So what about you?
This is really boring. Do you two remember a TV show called Press Gang?
Yes, Dexter Fletcher.
Dexter Fletcher. I watched that at the age of about 13 and that was it. Wanted to be a journalist.
Oh, so you were doing what you wanted to do.
That was it.
What was it you were telling us about your brother?
My brother, he's now in his late 30s, married with kids. He wanted to be a shark doctor.
shark doctor?
Yeah, right. And then the best one, he wanted to be a pilot that made ladies' dresses.
Right. So right, talk me through that one, because that one's thrown me. He wanted to be a pilot.
Yep.
Okay, so if you said he wanted to be a pilot,
then
stopped there,
mm-hmm.
You said he wanted to be a pilot that makes women's dresses there, you need to talk me through what his method was there.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've got plenty of pictures of him in my mum's dresses.
Okay.
So that might have something to do with it, but that was his thing, and that's something we always remember as a family, and we still wind him up about today.
And what does he do now?
He's a lecturer in film and TV at university.
Excellent.
Okay.
Nick says, hi, guys. I always wanted to be a footballer at 17. I was playing for Wimbledon. I slipped in the mud, broke my pelvis, career over.
Ooh.
Went to college to study car mechanics, passed everything, became a lifeguard where I met my wife. Now I'm a police officer at 25 years. Everything happens for a reason, I guess. Great show, guys. Nick. What a great story.
That is
a great story. Yeah.
And Kim finally in Holbridge, I wanted to be a sign writer, but was told not to be so stupid by my careers officer and parents. I'm now a medical secretary. There you go, Kim. Thank you very much.
You can still be a sign writer.
You can still be a sign writer. My career's guy, when I said radio, laughed in my face.
Yeah.
He's still there. I like this. What did you do, or what did you want to do when you were younger, and what did you end up doing?
Because, it is good, because it does change. It does change.
It does change, and there'll be things that you've planned now due to A-level results that you think, right, that's set in stone. But nothing's set in stone. We spoke to people at 34, 35, just changed career, just went, actually, I want to do something else.
Well, no, you were saying earlier about, like, you know, people that do university and they, you know, like, for example, my son Brennan, he's done psychology.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to be a psychologist. But, you know, it's quite a broad subject, so there's lots of jobs he could do. But for now, he's just passed, he's done really well. He's going to go travelling and work out what he wants to do. So he didn't formulate a plan and go, I want to be this, so I'm working towards it.
Yeah, there's a lot of transferable skills, yeah, isn't there? Yeah, so you can use it, do something else.
Yeah.
It's good. Ian, what about you?
Hi, guys. When I was 3 years old, I wanted to be a soldier. And then I didn't do very well at school because I didn't have a particularly good school time. My teachers basically said I would never achieve anything, I'd never stick at anything, I'd never amount to anything in life. Fast forward to 17 and a half, I became a soldier and was a soldier for 13 years as a combat medic. During that time, I went on a course to learn how to be an operating department practitioner, and I've been an operating department practitioner for the past 22 years. Wow. So my teachers were wrong. So I'm now an ODP at Broomfield Hospital.
That is an incredible story.
It's so
that's
good,
amazing.
That. I mean, wow. I love that. I love the fact that, because sometimes you get that. I mean, it happened to me at school. People, you're going, make sure you do all this work at school because you're never going to be a singer. And this guy, I mean, Ian, that's incredible.
Incredible story, motivating. And yeah, just goes to show you. It's down to belief. It's what you, if you think you can do it, you probably can.
Let's go.
This is Radio Essex.
Every Sunday's got me moving to the beat.
The Big Drive Home with Chris and Scott.
We just played George Ezra, Green Green Grass. We know how much of a fan Scott is of
huge
that.
Fan.
Huge fan.
Whenever we play it in the studio, nothing but compliments for the song.
Oh, he's like, why am I not as good as this guy? That's what he says all the time.
He's
all
like,
the time.
Oh, I can't wait to write a Green Green Grass of my
time
own.
Time tune, yeah.
Yeah.
So we can actually take a peek now into Scott's car and how it sounds when Green Green Grass gets played on the radio, his reaction. We can cross live now to that.
Yay, you're playing my favourite song. I love Jules Ezra. Green, green grass. Woo! On the day that I die.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's nice to see him happy about it.
Yeah, it is. He'll be here soon. 10 to 4, Big Drive Home.
What you gonna do when you don't stop when you play hit music?
The Big Drive Home with Chris and Scott on Radio Essex.
People are naming their dogs human names now.
Why?
I don't know. It's a big thing. A poll found that Max and Molly are now top names for dogs. Rex and Rover gone. No one. I don't know who was naming their dog Rover.
Rover!
celebrities following the trend include the Beckhams. Their dogs are called Barnaby and Scarlett, which is almost more normal than some of the kids' names.
Yeah, yeah.
Harry Styles has called his Colin and Andy.
That's cool, though, isn't it? Colin.
Colin! And Andy Murray's also got a terrier called Maggie. The top 10 names in the dog world at the moment, at number 10 is Bella. Number 9, Dexter. 8, Ben. Ben was always a dog's name, wasn't it?
Was it?
I thought Michael Jackson's song Ben was about a dog.
No, it was about a monkey.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay, well, Ben's at number 8.
It was famously about a monkey.
Was it?
Yes, he had a monkey and it was called Ben.
The monkey wasn't called Ben.
Michael Jackson's
monkey was called Ben.
Right, it's famously about a monkey.
Should we search this up?
Yeah. Right, it's famously about a monkey.
I'll carry on with the chart. Number 7, Alfie. 6, Charlie.
Alfie sounds like a dog stuff.
Yeah, Charlie at 6, I think that's fine. Toby at 5, Jess at 4, Holly at 3, Molly at 2, and Max is the number 1 dog's name in the country right
What's
now.
What's my dog called, Chris?
Barnaby.
As if I've got a dog called Barnaby.
Saf.
But that's the dead one that died. and it was called Safia.
Yeah, but you called it Saf.
Yeah, Saf, yeah. What was my other dog?
I don't know.
Willow is my dog's name.
I don't know my mate's kid's name. I can't go through the dog's names.
My other dog was called Chandler. From
Friends.
Oh,
yeah, I do remember Chandler.
Apparently, you're both wrong.
Oh, no, it's a rat.
Yeah.
It's a rat.
No, it wasn't.
It was a pet rat.
What was his monkey called?
It wasn't called Ben. He was a rat. Of course it was. It was a rat.
I'm looking at this, like, looking at what the song's about, and apparently it's about a film where a rat becomes an enormous super rat.
Yeah, the film was called Willard.
That's confusing.
Right.
Why?
Right, when he rode a dog. But I don't really, right? So, no, what's that? Okay.
What's Michael Jackson's monkey called?
I don't know.
I need to find out what his monkey is called. With Marcel was... the monkey from Friends.
Bubbles.
Bubbles, of course it
Bubbles,
was.
Bubbles, yeah.
There you go, got
Bubbles,
that
the two of us need no more.
Thank you, Hayley, Renata, Barbara and Sue from Basildon and Michael from Prittlewell with your exclusive Michael Jackson pet rat knowledge. Thank you. Line three, what you got for us?
You're talking about dogs' names. My name is actually Barnaby, and I am named after my parents' next-door neighbour's dog.
No, you're not.
That's genius.
No, you're not. You're winding us up.
Everyone calls me Barney. My real name is Barnaby. My dad liked the dog's name so much, he called me Barnaby.
Oh, that's wow. Brilliant. That made you feel special, didn't it?
Oh, I'm super unreal. Special.
That's amazing. So when they used to call Barnaby in, you'd get confused.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I can see that.
Did you used to get dog treats for when you were good?
I used to get ripped at like hell at school.
I bet you did, yeah. That's incredible. Lovely. Thank you, Barnaby.
Cheers, right, Barnaby.
Take
good
care.
Boy. Good boy.
Good boy, yeah. Hi to Marie. She says, my dog is called DJ. She is a she and was named after a club DJ that I had a crush on in 2009. She's now 13.
Oh. Wow.
That's incredible. She's in the garden at night, DJ! And I come running along with Chris Moyles.
Yeah.
Pat Sharp. Oh, Marie's there. Wow, okay. Nice one, Marie. Yeah, there was loads of people clarifying Ben from Michael Jackson. We thought he might
How
have been...
How is he singing about a rat?
It was a soundtrack to a film. I remember, as soon as somebody said rat, I remember the whole story. It was a soundtrack.
But originally, before that, you thought it was a dog.
I thought it was a dog. I thought Ben was a dog. But it's apparently it's a rat. But you thought it was a monkey. I think Michael Jackson's monkey was known by everyone as Bubbles.
Yeah. So now,
I never met him.
No, but now it all makes sense. But like in my head, I'd invented that he was singing to his monkey.
Which I think would have been an interesting video. No, it's a rat. Ben was famously a rat. Everyone's told us. I mean, we've done lots of things today where you could text in. That's by far, I mean, I reckon 100 odd texts.
Do you know why it is, though? Because instantly they go, oh my God, they've both got it wrong. It's a rat. Can't believe they just said
that. Do you think if you know in a conversation, if you're watching something or you're listening to something and somebody says something wrong and you know it's wrong,
you can't
help yourself get involved?
Yeah.
That might be it. We should always do that. We should get stuff wrong.
Put his mic up more.
That Liverpool and Millwall game last night was good, wasn't it, Scott?
Really yeah, good. Well yeah, good. It loved was 16-0.
But Millwall played really, really well.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah.
No one's text. They know we're mucking about.
That's because you're doing a voice.
Yeah. 20-5, big try.
20-7. 20-7.
Friday, yay!
Finish work. Ooh.
Oh, it's so hot and sunny outside.
Payday weekend. What do you call it?
Huh?
Is it payday weekend?
Payday weekend.
Yeah, payday weekend, everyone. Yay!
Why do you need to know? Why don't you understand payday weekend?
Yeah, I'm confused as well. How do you not understand that?
I don't do my own invoices. I don't know. It just turns up at the bank.
Do you know when he first started? Can I tell the story? Yeah, I'm going to tell it anyway. When he first started, he did the best of the... What was it called? The 90s
It was
show.
Called Top of the 90s.
Top of the 90s with Scott from Five, right?
Yeah.
He did it for a year.
Are you telling me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A year, right? A year.
1 year.
One whole year. And then went, who do I invoice? And I went, what? And he went, who do I invoice for the show? I went, firstly, you don't invoice yearly. I don't know who does that. I don't know who gets to the end of the year and goes...
I got a phone call from like the finance department, and they said, Scott, can you do us a favour? And I said, what's that? And they said, can we pay you like in a few instalments because like it's a bit like
it's
much
quite a lot
out in a
year.
And I went, you can do it. It's fine. They went, why haven't you invoiced? I went, why did it? I don't know. Kept on forgetting.
So that explains the conversation of what's payday.
Yeah.
It's always payday.
Here we go again, here we go again.
The Big Drive Home with Chris and Scott.
I'ma turn you on.
This is Radio Essex.
I hope you cooled down a little bit with the old rain outside.
No, do you know what? Surely everyone had the same problem last night. If you live in and around the South End Essex area, which you will do because you're listening to radio station Essex. I don't know, because Colchester might not have been the same.
Okay, yeah.
But honestly, it was so hot last night that I didn't, it was like I was having a shower in my bed. It was awful. It's awful. Half past 3 in the morning.
It's not nice.
I sat downstairs and had to like, have a little think about where I was going to sleep. It was a nightmare, honestly.
Did anyone sit and stand in the rain?
No.
I did. I just went out.
At half three in the morning, I went outside in my pants, in my back garden, and just let it rain on me. I was like, this is beautiful.
I stood in the rain last night. It rained for a bit.
In your pants?
In the evening. No, it was before I went to bed. I was watching the Liverpool game, but it started to rain a little bit, and I went, just stood in the garden for a bit. But it was still no air.
I didn't have any rain last night.
We had rain here during the day. Remember when we started the show and it tipped down with rain?
Yeah.
And then in like Wickford and Billericay and that, there was no rain.
That's weird.
And I went to see a friend of mine in Rettendon after the show. There was no rain there. Then there was a bit of rain while I was around there. By the time I got home watching the football, there was a little bit of rain in Wickford. But it wasn't, I don't think anyone had what we had in Southend yesterday.
I've never heard you say the word rain more. Ever.
In one sentence.
In one sentence. You said rain a lot there.
But it's broken now. We've gone from heat warnings, we're now on thunder warnings. I don't know if I need a warning.
The warning is...
Yeah, the lightning's the warning, isn't it? Thunder's coming. I don't know if I need an actual official warning from the Met Office that thunder's coming.
Is this where I sing the song?
No, don't sing the thunder song. But is it just me or are we getting more... I understand heat warnings. I get that.
Well, yeah, because
you're planning a holiday and you got your dog in the car, whatever, you go, oh, actually, the heat warning. I don't know if I need a thunder warning.
Well, isn't thunder and lightning, like, can't it, do, you know, like...
Yeah, but do we need warnings for everything?
Well, I don't know, if you was in a forest... if you was in a forest?
Well, I don't need a... I don't need a warning.
What if the lightning and the thunder makes the tree fall down and lands on you?
I'd be very unlucky.
If you had the warning...
I don't need a warning. We don't need warnings all the time. We just every day we wake up. This week we've had a sun warning, a rain warning, a drought warning, and a thunder warning. This week is Tuesday.
With
a lot of different warnings. It keeps us like always on edge.
Do you reckon we'll get like a snow warning next?
Of course we will get
a snow warning. That'll happen. There'll be an ice warning and a snow warning.
Warning.
And I think it's after the pandemic. I think we've all just become really hyper alert to everything. It's like thunder warning. You think back to being a kid, I don't ever remember, mum's just said there's a thunder coming. She heard a warning on the radio. why do we need a warning?
You're probably right.
I don't need a warning. Take you
home. The Big Drive Home.
Let's ride.
With Chris and Scott.
Let's go.
This is Radio
It's Chris
Essex.
And Scott, producer Tom here as well.
So I want to give everyone an insight into Tom's mind.
Yeah.
Really?
And the reason why... You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
No.
The reason why he might not be quite as organised as we perhaps need him to be sometimes.
Okay.
You know, like sometimes when we do the title fight, which we do a bit later in the show, about half five, we go, Tom, have you got a genre? And he goes, not yet. And it's like 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Well.
Sometimes you get the impression that he's making it up as he goes along.
100%.
Never. Yeah.
Now, I got into, me and Joe, Joe Kinch, who covered you the other day, young Joe, we got into Tom's car yesterday. He gave us a lift. Right?
Okay.
And I looked at his clock in his car.
Yeah.
And the clock was an hour and 8 minutes slow.
Hour and 7 minutes,
sorry,
actually.
An hour and 7 minutes slow. I look at Tom and I go, so why is it? So we would have got in the car, it would have been around...
Ten past six,
around that sort of mark. And it wasn't. It was like, it was ridiculous, right? And I said, it still said four. So it still had like, it was like 16:56 or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, Tom, what? your clock, like, it's completely wrong. And he goes, yeah, it's been like that for since I got it. I said, how long you had the car? He went, over 3 years. don't know how to change it, right? And I said, one, how has that not bothered you? He said, I'm just used to it and that, right?
I work around it.
So when you look at the clock, you know what time it is because you just add an hour and 7 minutes.
Yeah. Right. So so it took me, because I'm a geezer. Right?
Yeah, of course.
It took me about 10 seconds to work out how to do it. I just held the clock button down, as you would be good at this.
Yeah, yeah.
I just held the clock button down, they started to flash.
And then you
went, and then there was an arrow somewhere, and I went like that, and I changed it to whatever, 12 minutes past six, whatever time it was when I'd done
it. Yeah, yeah.
I get a text from him last night going, you've mucked me up. You're going to have to put my... You're going to have to put my clock back. What was you... Really early for picking up Steph?
Yeah, so I had to go pick up my girlfriend Steph from her job. And I went there and I was like really early and I was really confused. Why? Because I looked at the clock and I was like, why? It's the right time. And then I worked it out and I was like, oh, Scott changed it.
So I got a note and then I got a voice note off of Steph telling me that it's got to be changed back today.
Otherwise, we'll never know where Tom is.
The Big Drive Home with Chris and Scott. Radio Essex.
A relationship expert has come onto the scene and has shared 7 questions. This is useful for you if you're going on a date or you're going on a first date and you want to get to know the person you're going on the date with. James Thomas, he's a dating expert and says these 7 questions will allow you to find out how easily and if you're compatible with the person that you're seeing. Okay. So how easily you'll get on with them and whether you're compatible with them. The relationship expert shared 7 questions you should ask on a first date to really get to know the person.
Have you got the 7 questions?
Yeah.
Shall we go on a date?
Yeah. Do you want restaurant background noise?
Yes, please. Could it be a little bit lower?
The noise?
Yeah, the noise is a little bit, like, they're too close to me.
Is that better? Yeah,
I think so.
Well, are we going to sit over there on our own in the corner? There okay. You go. How you doing? All right?
I'm okay.
First question. What's your favourite way to relax?
In a hot tub.
I'm game on here. Game on. I love a hot tub as well. Next question.
Don't say it. Right, we're having a conversation. You're ruining it. Second question.
I love a hot tub, me. Love a hot tub.
So do I.
You put chlorine in it and stuff. So I'm just chatting now. I'm just filling.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, of course I do. Otherwise it'd be dirty.
What's the last show?
I like it dirty. No,
what's the last show you binge-watched?
It was Code 404.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw the trailer.
With the robots.
Well, we can't rule out Craig David. Is that one?
No.
Different show I'm thinking of. What was the... what's something you want to learn? Sounds more like
Spanish.
An interview.
Don't read it like question.
Right. If you could learn something, what would it be?
You're doing it like a radio DJ now. Right, try and make it a little bit more natural.
So, if you could learn anything, what would you want to learn?
I would like to learn Spanish.
Oh, okay. Actually.
So now you're being derogatory.
So this restaurant's nice. What do you cook? Have you got a signature dish that you cook? Is there a big thing that you cook that only Scott can cook?
Well, I like to do homemade pizza.
Oh, that sounds good.
I've said home as well, haven't I? So like hinting that...
That you've got a house. Brilliant. If the world was ending tomorrow, what would
you'd
do?
Come over, right?
Right. If the world was ending,
you'd come over, right?
That's genius.
Yeah, carry on.
If the world was ending tomorrow, what would you do?
I probably wouldn't be on this day. If I'm honest, I'd probably drop me out right now on this day.
That's a good answer, Timor.
It's a bit loud in the background. What are they doing?
He's quite loud.
I want that conversation.
She's noisy, isn't she?
She's well noisy.
She's well noisy.
Right, carry on.
What's the best things happened to you this week? Bearing in mind it's only Tuesday. And don't say you got a blue tick on TikTok.
It's not verified on TikTok.
Got a verified TikTok. That's good. And finally, not finally, because we'll eat in a minute. What's the weirdest thing you've ever bought on Amazon? Sorry, can you get the noise? We're on a date.
The weirdest thing I've ever bought on Amazon.
Yeah.
I actually don't think I've bought anything weird. Chlorine tablets.
Chlorine tablets is a good answer. James, please, those seven questions will help you keep the conversation flowing. We've come out of the restaurant now.
All right.
Help you keep the restaurant, the conversation flowing.
We didn't even have a meal.
Huh?
We didn't even get to
the meal. We'll eat in a minute. And gives you and your date a chance to get to know if you're a fun person or a compatible person. I'd run a mile.
Oh, I thought I was quite fun.
No, I'd not run a mile from you. I would run a mile if I was you and the other person was asking me those seven questions.
Oh, yeah, no, you went a bit robotic.
Yeah,
it wasn't very natural.
It's not flowing, is it? It's not a flowing... We're having a nice flowing conversation now.
Yeah.
No, I stopped it.
It's time. The Big Drive Home Podcast.
We have to get out of here.
With Chris and Scott. Thanks for listening to Radio Essex.
Well, that's it. End communication.